honor. We give you our Lord and our King. Oh Lord, you are bright and morning star. You are the King of kings. You are the Lord of lords. You are the Lion of the tribe of Judah. You are the one who was, you are the one who is, and the one who is to come. And Lord, Father, I just pray that even now, as these hungry ones are here, and their hearts is expecting for you to touch them, Lord, I pray that even now that you begin to heal, to begin to set free, you begin to touch us, Lord God, in a different way, God, in the name of Jesus. And Lord Jesus, take us from glory to glory, even those who are already walking in the rivers of your Spirit. Lord, we ask for new levels of your Spirit, that you will take us from glory to glory, to glory, to glory, to glory. In the name of Jesus. Lord, we worship, we praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. So you give Jesus a mighty and wonderful praise today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. How many of you watched my interview yesterday on the Elijah stream? Yeah, if you haven't watched it, it's still on their Facebook. If you haven't watched it, I was interviewed by, you know the Elijah stream, right? Yeah, I was interviewed by the Elijah stream, and I think everybody needs to hear that message. So if you have not and watched it, go on their Facebook and then listen to it. Just soak into the message, because it's a very important message for the body of Christ, and then share it so that everyone can see it. I mean, that's the, it's not on YouTube right now. They were actually airing it like on YouTube when YouTube pulled it down. I was like, okay, so YouTube pulled it down, but they're going to see if they will restore them because they were banned for 1 week. They were banned for 1 week, but so by Friday, they're hoping that they can put it back like on YouTube. But go on their Facebook and then just have a look, and then you can actually listen to it. Hallelujah. So Jesus, we just thank you, Lord. We just praise you. Hallelujah. So my message this morning really is about walking in the anointing. Wow. So walking in the anointing is meant to be like a lifestyle, like a daily lifestyle that the Lord has for us as we walk in the rivers of his Spirit. Walking in the anointing is a daily lifestyle. So if you turn your Bible to Isaiah 61. All right. Thank you. Walking in the anointing. So turn your Bible to Isaiah chapter 61. But even as you put your hand in Isaiah chapter 61, I want to share with you a dream that I had. And the dream is actually is a timeless dream. You know what that means? That even though it's several years ago, every time when I share it, it's still current. It's still current, it's still active, and it's still touching lives, it's still transforming, it's still changing, it's still activating. It's still activating, and it is still releasing. So this dream that I had, I had it several years ago, and in the dream, I saw a river, and I noticed several things about this river. And one of the things that I saw about this river was that the color was very pure, and it was silver in color. And also I saw waves in this river. It was a river that looked so alive. And I saw myself within the river. And I saw several other people, right? Maybe some of you were there. Yeah, I saw several other people within the river. And then this the waves of the river were just pulling people into different directions. So I was pulled in a direction in a bank. Another person was put in another direction. People were being deposited like in different places. So when I woke up from the dream, I kind of just asked the Holy Spirit, you know, what is the meaning of this dream? And he said that the river that I saw is a river of revival. Is a river of revival. And he said that a lot of you, a lot of people in the body of Christ, they are crying out and praying for revival. Honestly, everywhere that I go, it seems that that's one common theme. That every nation, they're always expectant, they're always waiting for one kind of revival. Lord, we want this revival to come, Lord, bring your revival. And then so, but one thing that I do want to say to you that if you have been praying and you have been asking and asking God for revival, do you know that inside of you, you already have the Spirit of God, right? And if you realize just what you carry, right, everywhere you go, you can just release revival. You can just release revival, and it's for the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon us. However, I also believe that, you know, there is a big revival, right, that is going to culminate in and just before Jesus Christ comes, right? And I do believe that because what the book of Joel talks about that, right? So, and then so what the Lord told me that this revival that I saw is what people have been praying for, and that everyone needs to understand what this revival, what it is going to be like. That the reason why this river was so pure, it is because this move of the Spirit is going to be a very pure move. Yeah. And so a lot of people who are going to be part of it has to be pure. We are being prepared. Yes. You know, we're being prepared like in purity. We're being prepared in our hearts. Yes. Okay? And then also with the waves that I saw, that is the movement of the Holy Spirit. That's the movement of the Holy Spirit. That if we surrender, we surrender to the Holy Spirit will move us in the place where we are needed the most. And that's why this river, this waves of the Spirit of God was pulling people into different directions. Because God knows where you are needed the most, right? God knows why you are placed in your family. God knows why you are living in Durham, but maybe you're not living in Durham, but God knows why you're in Sheraton, right? Yeah. I mean, so God knows all of this reason, yeah. Right? So how do we get acquainted? How do we get, moved by the Spirit of God? Do you know what? It's just simply by saying yes. Yes, Lord. Whatever you want me to do, I will do it. Okay? And then, so who is this anointing? Isn't it Jesus? Right? You know, Psalm 46 says there is a river whose streams will make glad the city of the living God. The holy habitation of the Most High, she will not be moved. God is in the midst of you. Right? So you know what? Jesus is the river. Jesus is a fountain of living waters that is living within us. Okay, so to be able to walk in this revival is to manifest Jesus wherever we go. Do you see that? It's just so simple that sometimes we actually miss it. Right, Jesus, what would you do today? What would you have me do today? So let me share with you another dream. And in this dream, I was walking out somewhere. And as I was walking on the street, I saw Jesus. But I saw Jesus inside of me, right? But he was not contained within me. He was his head, his hand, and his legs were breaking out, coming out of my body, right? And then the beautiful thing was that when I looked around me, I saw other believers that they were having the same experience. that Jesus' hands and feet was coming out of them, breaking out of them. And then I woke up from the dream, and the Lord said to me, I asked the Lord, what is the meaning of the dream that I saw? And he said that in this last days, how many of you know that we are in the last days? I do believe that, actually. Right, in this last days, the act of the love and mercy of Jesus, it is going to increase. So because Jesus is love and he is mercy, right? So every action that we are meant to take is meant to be rooted like in love. Yeah, right? So as we walk in the love of God, as we just let Jesus, the love, the, you know, God is love, as we let him just manifest through us, right? What I saw within the dream will begin to happen every day, even before we will see this great and final revival that's going to usher in the coming of Jesus. There is already levels of anointing that we're already walking in. There's already levels. So what I want to do today, what I'm going to do today, especially at the end of the meeting, I want to pray for all of you. Whatever levels that you are in, where you're walking in the anointing, like Ezekiel 47, right? If you have just started to put your feet in this river, right? This river is going to come from your ankle to your knee. And if you've never ever put your feet in the river before, you know what? Today is the day that I'm encouraging you. Put your feet in the, right? Put it in. Right. And then if it's already on your knee, right? And then it wants to come up to your waist. So surrender to the river of God. Let it keep on increasing within you until it becomes a river that you cannot even, like a river that you cannot even control, right? It's the Holy Spirit. It's about surrender. So as we surrender to the Holy Spirit, it's the Spirit of God that is going to be moving us in the name of Jesus. So what are the signs, right? What are the signs that the Holy Spirit is within us? So if you look at Isaiah 61, this is the words of Jesus. And I also want to say that one of the keys, this second dream that I just shared with you, that key is also the key of intimacy as well. That when we are so in tune with Jesus, right, we are so immersed in his will, in his love, in his nature, that we will begin to do just like Jesus did, that we begin to do only what the Father did, right? Amen. And so get ready, you know, for an adventure. Amen. Yeah, are you ready for an adventure? Yes. Are you ready for Jesus to just completely change you? Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Are you ready for Jesus to just completely transform you? Yes. Even if you're not used to it, yes. Right? Even if you're not used to that kind of move. Okay, Isaiah 61, all right. So actually, Jesus quoted this scripture. He quoted it. Jesus was really criticized by the Pharisees, by the Sadducees of his day, who were shocked by everything that he was doing, that he was moving in such demonstration of power that they had never seen before. And then they began to ask him, you know, by which power are you doing this? And some of them even said that he was doing things by the power of the devil. So Jesus answered them. He stood up in the synagogue and he read from Isaiah 61. And he said, the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me. So it is because of the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord that is upon him that he was doing all of the great things that he was doing. Okay. So I really believe that even in this church, that many of you are already, you're already working in intimacy with God. Am I wrong? That, right? Yeah, you're already working in intimacy with God. But I see this level of intimacy just now, right? There's an increase. I say, hey, come on, right? With this intimacy with the Lord Jesus, is it time for you to go outside of the four walls, right? Is it, you know, is the same Jesus who is calling us even on the mountain to walk in intimacy with him? Is the same Jesus who also went outside of the camp, You know, when he went outside of the camp, it was a place of shame, right? It was a place where he was beaten, where he was whipped, right? Before he went to the cross. And he's inviting us that if we want to be truly in one accord, walking one accord with him, we need to come outside of the camp to where he is. Right? Let me explain to you what I mean. And one of my very first experience of knowing what he actually means to come outside of the camp in a place where where you have the lepers, where you have the destitute, where you have the broken, where you have the wounded, the people in the world that people look down on, nobody wanted to associate with. Do you know my very first profound experience of meeting people like that? Right. It was when I was, how old was I then? I think I was 16 years old. I was 16 years old. I was living in Nigeria. And I was born in England. And then my parents took me back to Nigeria when I was a child. And then so the very first time that I really understood what it means to go outside of the camp, like with Jesus, where nobody wants to go, to love people that nobody wants to love, okay? And when I actually gave my life to Christ when I was 15 years old. And when I gave my life to Christ, I was activated like straight away. Jesus came into my room. When I got saved, I saw a bright light within my room. And I just felt the glory of God. And I already started preaching, walking in evangelism, ministering to many people. But there was something happened when I was 16 years old. I was at a library in Nigeria. And then at this library, I was sitting outside the library when I saw a man walked into the room. Sorry, a man walked into the venue. And I just saw that the atmosphere changed when he walked in. I felt the horror. Who is this person that everybody is recoiling in horror at? And I looked, and up till now, it was the most physically deformed person that I've ever seen in my life. He looked like a monster. And his whole body, I don't even know how to explain it. His whole body, he had big lumps all over him that was oozing liquid. One of his eyes was gone. And there was liquid coming out of his eyes. And the side of his head had, there was a huge dent so that on one side of his head, it wasn't normal. It's gone inside. And so when I saw that, I just looked at him. And as a 16-year-old girl, I just started to cry. Because Jesus in me felt, I could just feel the compassion of Jesus. Who is this man? And I could feel the horror in the place that nobody wanted to even look at him. Nobody wanted to touch him. And as I saw him, I said to someone in the library, I said, who is this man? Take me to him. And I remember one of them saying, no, we can't take you to him because it might be dangerous because of how he looked. Because he looked like a monster in the outside. They thought, oh, he might hurt you. And I said, no, just take me to him. And I didn't know what I was going to do. I didn't know what was going to happen. All I knew was there was something within me that just wanted to love him. I wanted to love the outcast. Yeah, I wanted to, because that's what the river of God does. Right, it releases the love of God within us. And I remember when somebody took me to him, and I went to where he was staying. He didn't have a house. He didn't have a house. He was staying in a carpenter's shed. I said, how did he get to stay in a carpenter's shed? Why? Because he was staying somewhere before, and the other tenants in the house were so terrified of his appearance, they got the landlord to throw him out. And he was so used, as he's walking on the street, people would throw stones at him because of how he looked. So such a picture of despair, rejection, desolation. What happened to his eye? I don't know, but let me tell you something. when he was born, he was born like with all of those things like on him. But guess what? Let me tell you, it wasn't God that put it on him. Can you agree with me? That God did not send him to the world so physically deformed. Because every good and perfect gift comes from God. But Satan was against him. And how did he lose his eye when he was in school? When he was a small child, he was on his way to school. And there was a flood. There was a rain flood. And then he, as he was trying to pass the flood to get into the school, he fell and there were broken glasses. And they pierced his eye. And that's how he lost the eye. Terrible. But why am I sharing this? I've never even shared this in any meeting. But what does it mean to go outside of the camp? And I remember looking at him and then talking to him. And when I saw him, I started to weep. And, you know, I talked to him and I said, I came to see you. And within my heart, I felt that the most important thing I was meant to do was to show him love. Somebody who... I don't even know where he is today. Somebody who had never received love from anybody, rejected. And I would sit with him on my way from school. I would sit with him every day. Because it was important that I have to show him love. And I would buy food. And we would eat together. We would eat together because nobody would touch him. We would eat from the same plate. We would eat. And every day when I would go, I actually led him to the Lord. I mean, like after then, I wasn't in ministry at the time. And so at the time, even though I prayed for him many times for him to be healed, I didn't see him get healed. But I believe that his heart was healed with the love. And he would look at me when I'm coming and his face would light up. Who is this girl? Who is not afraid of me? Who doesn't hate me? Do you see the outcast and the lepers of this world? He was physically deformed. But do you know that out there, there are people who look like they're okay. They look handsome on the outside. But in their inside, they are deformed. Their spirit is black and is full of death. And we pass them by every day. Even those who are working right here, like in Sheraton, they're closer than you know. And we pass them by every day. We talk to them. But do we ever think, do they know Jesus? Because without knowing Jesus, Isaiah 61, he actually says, this is a sign that the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon you. You will preach the gospel to the meek. So I want you to take the picture that I gave you, the picture of this man, and his name was Tunde. I want you to take that picture and just think of it, that everybody that we see who don't have Christ in them, their spirit is desperately dark. They are dead. Because you know what? How do I know something that happens and they are transformed each time that I lead someone to the Lord? What do they tell me? They tell me they feel something different. They feel the heart of God. They feel peace. They feel love. Right. So what I'm sharing with you, why is it that Jesus would spend lots and lots of time with the Father? If there was ever anyone who walked in intimacy, nobody could walk in more intimacy than Jesus. But every time he stayed in intimacy with God, what will he do the very next day? He's out there. He's raising the dead. He's cleansing the lepers. He's looking for people like Tunde. He's looking for people like that. As he walked on the street, as Jesus walked, he saw an outcast that was by the tomb of how do you pronounce that word? Gennesaret? Yeah, He's so an outcast that this man was so demonized that he could not live in the city anymore. He was cast out. He was bound with chains. Have you read that story before? There were so many demons within him. What did Jesus do? Jesus set him free, and he was in his right senses. Right. So many times when we look at the commission of Jesus, we almost overcome it. We almost overlook it because it looks too simple. And in our effort to grow more and more matured in him, sometimes we have neglected even the basic commission. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead. But that commission is ever, ever living and active, right? And so that is one of the things that I am going to, you know, release over you today. And as I pray over you, have that picture within your heart of this man that I shared with you, Brother Tunde. I used to call him Brother Tunde. Have that picture, the deformed, the unloved man who was cast out. Who was cast out, who was stoned several times. But people were afraid of him. Have that picture of him. And I just think, this is how the heart of men are, those who don't know the Lord. Because when our eyes are open to see the true state of man, guess what? Everything within us changed. Right. So on my trip here in this United States, right, every single meeting that I have been, right, my heart has been like, Jesus, what do you want to do in every place? So there are places that I will speak, I will go and preach at prophetic conferences. There are places that I will go and release like a word of the Lord, like in different places, right? But there is always something within me that is never far from the soul of man that is, you know, that doesn't know the Lord, right? I remember coming into the airport from, North Carolina, into Charlotte, on my way to preach at a tent revival. I keep feeling Jesus in me, like the dream that I had. His face and his head and his body wanting to break out of my body. I keep seeing him wanting to reach out to people. And that's how easy it is to preach the gospel. Let Jesus in you reach out and say words of hope, words of the gospel, right? And then all you need to do is to open up your mouth. Now I remember meeting so many different people, and all I did was just to show them love. You don't even always need to have a word of knowledge. Right, you don't even need to always have a word of knowledge, right? Because Jesus told me the love acts in these last days, it will increase. All I needed to do was just to approach someone and then tell them, Jesus loves you. And it's like a well gate opens up. And then I can see that the heart of many in the United States, just like the rest of the world, it's the heart of many, they are failing them. As I tell them, Jesus loves you, and I meet people, many of them will say, oh, I really needed that. I really needed to hear that today. Because they're going through a hard time. They begin to tell me how they've been struggling with the COVID. You understand? It doesn't ever seem to ever want to end. Like they have no hope. I remember one man telling me that he had taken the two vaccines and even like a booster, and he's still very afraid of it. And how did I answer every single one of them? I looked at their heart. I see, wow. Jesus said, cleanse the lepers. You might not see the physical lepers here, but there are people who are carrying upon them the leprosy of condemnation, the leprosy of fear, the leprosy of desolation, the leprosy of hopelessness, right? But if only we would have eyes to see, just like I saw Brother Tunde when he came in. A lot of people saw him, but many turned their face away from him because they were horrified. Right. And then when we look at that, we might say, oh, how awful. But do you know that how many times, even now, do we as it were turn our face away from the ones who are leprous in their spirit and in their heart and in their soul? And so it says, the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me, for the Lord has anointed me to preach the gospel. So even in this moment, I want to pray for you. I want to pray for you. Sayende. Hallelujah. The greatest key that we need to be able to preach the gospel is to manifest the love of Jesus. And of course, we need to be bold and all of that. To show the love and to have an understanding that, you know what? Jesus is outside of the camp, right? I'm trying to remember where that scripture, but it's in the book of Hebrews, right? Can somebody, I know it's in the book of Hebrews, that he's calling us to come out to the camp to where he is. But outside that camp is a place of suffering. Wow. Not many people want to go there because they just want to stay on the mountain with the Lord. But he said, hey, come on the mountain with me. But when I go to the camp, why don't you come with me? Just like he said to the disciples in the Garden of Gethsemane, will you just come and tarry with me? Come with me. So I want to pray for you right now. Right. Then we reach out and feel with the love of Jesus. I am going to pray for you to have eyes to see. That from today, your eyes will be opened. Like when you come into that Sheraton and you say, hey, how are you? How am I going to then? Do you know how special you are? Do you know Jesus loves you and he died for you? Do you believe in Jesus? Do you know Jesus is knocking on your heart? Would you like to open up your heart to him? And let it, oh, you told me not to go there. Ooh, yeah. Oh, Hebrews 13, can you read it? Sorry, Hebrews 13, 13, yeah, sorry. And then so it's like, eyes to see. Okay, Hebrews 13, 13. Hebrews 13, 13. Yes, please. Okay, so you can all see it. Okay. Yeah, Hebrews 13, 13. Let me see. Therefore, let us go forth to him outside his reproach. Wow, that's not easy, is it? To bear the reproach of Christ. Because there's some places that you go and you preach, it's not even that easy. In my life as a minister, I have preached in places where nobody wanted to go, where there were radical Muslims. That's what it means to bear the reproach of Christ. Right? You will see preaching the gospel as an honor, whether it's in a difficult place or it's in an easy place. Because you can feel the call within your heart. Come to me. Come outside the camp. Come on, come with me. You believe in intimacy, and I love that. But come with me. Don't just abide with me on the mountaintop. Come with me outside of the camp. Don't you see the lepers? Don't you see the broken ones? Don't you see the destitute? Come with me. Come with me. So I want to pray for you right now. If you will put your heart on your heart. And as I pray for you, have this picture within your heart of this man I mentioned. I have never, ever talked about him in any meeting. And I really pray everything went well for him, because I don't know what eventually happened to him. But I know that for the 1 year that I went to see him, this man believed in love again. And maybe that was my assignment. I led him to the Lord, but I also showed him love. I looked into his eyes. I learned not to recoil, right? But I began to see beyond the physical stuff. Put my hand in the food as we eat together. The food that he had just touched, I will touch you too and I will eat, right? And I heard that some people, the reason why they won't even go to him, because they were thinking what he had, it could spread to them. So they were scared of getting near him. So will you lift up your hand to the Lord Jesus? I hear the word, an awakening of love. An awakening of love. And then I hear the word, streams of light. Streams of light and streams of living water. Why am I hearing all of this? Because Jesus is all of this. Jesus is love. He said, Bible says that God is love. And Jesus is also light. He said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk even in darkness. So I'm praying right now, Father, let there be an awakening in every heart that is sitting here. An awakening of love. An awakening of love. An awakening of light within our heart, that we stir up our heart, because outside there in the camp, outside the camp, where the broken are there, where the wounded, even the demon possessed are there. Even those who have no hope, they are out there. So Lord, we are praying right now. Awaken our heart to love the ones. Awaken our hearts to love. Awaken our hearts to love. And I hear the word awaken our eyes. Awaken also our eyes to see. Awaken our eyes to see with the eyes of our spirit in the name of Jesus. And Lord, will you move our legs to go where we are needed the most? Because the dream I had, the waves of the river was pulling people in a different direction. Will you move our legs, oh God? When I teach my school of ministry, one of the things I teach them when I do the school of evangelism, I say, begin to pray every day and then tell the Lord, direct my steps every day to where I am needed the most. I'm telling you, if you pray like that every day, you're going to have adventures. You're going to give hope to the homeless. You're going to lead so many people to the Lord. Right? And then I'm hearing the word transition. Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, let your fire fall. Let your fire fall. The fire of compassion, the fire of your love, the fire of your kingdom, the fire of your compassion, let it fall even within this room, within our hearts. Thank you, Lord, for this activation in the name of Jesus. So, this is one of the signs when the Spirit of the Lord, right? How many of you have the Spirit of the Lord within you? Yeah. How many of you have the Spirit of the Lord and the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon you? And then, so whenever the Spirit of the Lord is there, one of the things the Spirit of the Lord will want to move you to do, like I explained, is to minister the good news of our Lord Jesus. It's not old-fashioned. It's not too simple, right? We never grow too mature to say, oh, you know what? That's beyond me now. Do you understand what I'm saying? I know why I'm saying that. I went to preach at a conference like in Virginia, and one of the apostles at the conference, he said, well, the Lord showed him that we need to, the Lord had been telling him we need to preach the gospel more. And so he now spoke to like a fellow apostle. He said, hey, let's hit the streets of Virginia and then preach. And the apostle said, no. I'm beyond that right now. The evangelist should be there. Me, I'm an apostle. Yeah, he told me that. You know, that is a mindset that is so ridiculous. that is beyond. I mean, Jesus was the chief apostle, but he was out there with the lepers. That was the place that he was. He was right there by the tomb. Why did he go to the tomb of Gennesaret? He knew that there was a man who was so possessed. Right. Yesterday, I was teaching at my school of deliverance. I have a school of ministry that I do on Zoom. And I was sharing about so many people that the Lord has used me to set free who are so demonized. Right. And these are also people who are so leprous within their spirit. And Jesus wants to have compassion for them. So I'm going to pray for you today. Because one of the things that I also saw myself doing today is if there's any one of you that within your heart, you feel that you need healing within your heart. You need a release of joy. You need a healing within your heart. God wants to mend the pieces of your broken heart. He wants to heal you. Because that's what the anointing does. So he says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal. Do you see that? To heal the brokenhearted. The Lord has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. And that's one of the things that the anointing does. And I want to pray for you. Because the Lord gave me a vision. I saw a vision in my mind. Some years ago, I saw people who were kind of like broken and wounded. They were looking lame. But Jesus said, these are part of his army, right? But they are believers, but they were so broken, they were so wounded. And Jesus told me he was releasing an outpouring of his spirit. That actually happened when I was in Norway, right? I saw an outpouring of the spirit that was healing so many people who had a broken heart, right? I remember there was one girl in Norway who had... how will I say it? When you know when somebody doesn't seem to be within their right senses? I don't know how to do it. Her face was like this. Pardon? I don't even know what she had. I just know that when I went to the meeting, I just saw her and her face was like this. Like she wasn't in her right mind. No. She couldn't... Yeah, it wasn't autism. It was something close. No, it's something mental, like mental. Okay, it doesn't matter. Yeah. So I remember. Yeah. So I remember laying hands on her, and then. She fell under the anointing, and then within the next couple of days, she came to the meeting again. I saw her sitting, and then the pastor of the church came to me and he said, Ella, would you believe it if I told you that that was the same lady that you prayed for? I said, no. I've never seen like such a radical transformation. Her voice was slurry and her face was like this. And her voice was clear. And this, whatever it was that was tormenting her, had just lifted. So she shared her testimony that when she was slain in the spirit, and then when she got up, she felt like a different person. And apart from that, she was even addicted to tobacco. And the addiction was gone. Right. So over the years, I've seen moves of the spirit where the people who are depressed had been healed. Right? People who are mentally ill. I was sharing that yesterday in my school. Like a woman who had bipolar for 10 years. The Lord showed me how to set her free. And how did I do it? It was the same way Jesus did it. The Lord gave me a vision and I saw demons that looked like insects that were responsible for her mental illness. And so what I just did was that I casted out the demons, right? And I set her free in the name of Jesus. And since 2011, she had been free. She doesn't use medication. She has not used medication for a long time. She has shared her testimony in a lot of places. And I didn't know that for 10 years when she had it, she said she was always crying out, oh God, when am I going to be free? When am I going to be free? When am I going to be free? Right? Because that's one of the things that the anointing does. And so the Lord told me that the reason why he's releasing such a powerful outpouring of his spirit, because there are people like that who are like they're not in their right senses. And because they're not in their right senses, or they're mentally ill, or they're suffering from depression, or they're brokenhearted. Right? But he needs his army to be made whole, to be strong. Right. He needs his army. Amen. Yeah, because you know what? You're an army of the living God. Amen. And God wants to strengthen you. Amen. Right. And we will do more of that prayer. I have my team with me here and we will pray for you at the end. That if you are suffering from hope deferred And if you've been suffering for, oh, you know what, God, there are places in my heart, there are places within your heart that it's almost like there is a block. You don't even want to get there because it's just too painful. But you don't have to do that. You just allow the Holy Spirit to go into those places. Because when he does that, he's going to heal. He's going to make you whole. Because I've seen it time after time after time. People will say, hey, they came to my meeting with a spirit of depression and they left free. It's not right and it's not proper for the body of Christ to be suffering from any one of this. Do you understand? So we will pray for you today. But apart from that, okay, do you know that, do you want to walk in the fullness of the anointing yourself? Because when you walk in the fullness of the anointing, you will minister to the leper, like I said, like Tunde. Like lepers in the spirit, you want to preach the gospel. But you also want to set people free. Amen. So, right at the end, you know, if you need prayers for that, if you will come forward, you know, we want to minister to you. Okay. And then, well, the Spirit of the Lord has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of the vengeance of our God, and to comfort all who mourn, to console those who mourn even in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. I really like this part, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. And this is the end of it, really. Right. And another thing that I want to pray for all of you. I want to release you as the Isaiah 61 generation. As I'm just saying that, I had a dream. I mean, this is the title of my book anyway. I had a dream a few years ago. It wasn't too long ago. And in the dream, I believe that the dream was in America, funny enough. And then there were a lot of people in the meeting. As I stood there, I said, I have come to release the Isaiah 61 generation. And then the atmosphere in the room was electric. It was filled with expectancy. Because the Isaiah 61 generation, there are people who will walk just like Jesus did. Woo! Do you think that is possible? Yeah. Where they walk in the fullness of the anointing, in the fullness of the glory of God. So when Jesus said in his scripture, he said, we are as he is. When Jesus quoted from Isaiah 61, he said, the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord, he is upon me. Do you know what? We are joint heirs with him. Amen. We're joint heirs with him. He wants to bring you in. Come on, walk with me. Come on a journey. Come on a journey of a radical faith. Come on a journey of a radical faith. Let his anointing richly fill you. Let his anointing richly touch you. You know, let the glory of his anointing release you like never before. So the Isaiah 61 generation, they are those. Okay, there's water. Yeah. So the Isaiah 61, my voice sound croaky. The Isaiah, yeah. So the Isaiah 61 generation, thank you, that was powerful. When he said, bless you, Lord, my voice just cleared, right? I think, who did that? Wow, that's, you see, amen, you're anointed. You just said, bless you, Lord, and my voice just cleared. That's through your all. But that's the end of it. that you may be called the trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. Amen. That is the end of it. It gives God glory. Do you want to give glory to God? Yes. He said, you will be called the planting of the Lord, that God will be glorified. And so that dream that I had, God just put it within my heart. That was in the United States. Right. And I have never, ever in any meeting in the U.S. released this. But the Lord just put it upon my heart when I came into the meeting and I saw a lot of people that were gathered. And I said, I've come to release you as the Isaiah 61 generation. Irene, you know, this is the first time that I am releasing that. So it is going to be powerful. And I believe that as we lay hands on you today, this anointing, this rich anointing, the oil of joy, all of those things that he says that, you know, the oil of joy, like for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that you will be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. And may Jesus take the glory today as he releases you in the fullness of his anointing. And what will happen after that when you are released? Do you know that there are many ruins that need to be rebuilt? How many of you know that? The United States needs to be rebuilt, right? Don't you see that there are things in the States, in the United States, that there are structures that needs to be rebuilt? Because you will rebuild the old ruins. You will raise up the former desolations. You will repair the ruined cities. The desolation of many generations. You see? So that's one of the effects of it. That when he releases you as the Isaiah 61 generation, you're going to be repairing. You're going to be repairing and rebuilding the ruins, the things in this United States that needs to be rebuilt. The government, this structure, right? I know that this one is a bit of a tough one, and I know that maybe I shouldn't go there. But I mean, a lot of people were upset when, I don't know. A lot of people were upset when Trump didn't win. And I was upset too. I don't know if you, I don't know what you think about that. I'm in the right church. Yeah, but despite the fact that maybe that happened, do you know that we can still legislate in the heavenly realms? Right? We don't have to continue to see. We don't want to see the United States fall apart. Because maybe that's the will of the enemy, why he did all of this, right? But we need to rise up and rise up from that place of mourning. Because some of us are still in a place of mourning that, oh, the one we wanted did not. The one God wanted did not. But you know that despite all that, as the Isaiah 61 generation, you can still declare into the heavenlies. And then decree and declare everything that is ruined, that looks like it is ruined, they need to be repaired. Amen. Everything that is ruined, whatever it is, it might be in schools, the system, you know, the vaccine passport. Yeah. When I was in New York, I actually led them to actually pray. I said pray because what seems to be gaining traction, you know, with regard to the vaccine passport, we can pray and we can cast it down. And so they stood up. That was in October and we prayed. Guess what happened? I've been looking at the news. I'm like, yay. So I came to you know, stir you up. Amen. Yeah? Because when people pray, things happen. Amen. Right? So we don't want things to be ruined. This is your. God has given to you. He said, ask of him. Ask of God and he will give you the nations as an inheritance, the ends of the earth as your possession. Yeah. Right? Do you understand? The ends of the earth as your possession. United States belongs to God. Amen. Don't allow it to go to ruin. I just feel that that is a word for you. You know, it's a time for somebody to rise out of their mourning. Rise up with power. And regardless who is in the government, Jesus is the ruler. Right. We need to come out of that spirit of mourning and say, hey, you know, out of that spirit of mourning and say, you know what? Regardless, I'm still going to speak. Everything that looks like it's about to be ruined, I speak repair. Amen. And so we are going to do that. We're going to pray. Right? We will, you know, because Isaiah 61 generation, they are mandated to be able to rebuild the old ruins. Think of the places within your heart. Where are all the places that seems to be ruined? Can you imagine within the eye of your spirit things that look like they are ruined? But by reason of the anointing, you can rebuild it. I was so encouraged that when I led that church, were to pray, and then I started to see in the paper, wow, the vaccine passport, you know, the situation with the vaccine passport is not, it has hit a stumbling block. Do you understand? So you will rebuild the ancient ruins. You will rebuild it, and you will speak over the United States and command that United States will be rebuilt. Yes. Command that the United States will be rebuilt just like the Lord wants it to be, right? Yeah. So actually, I want us to pray, because I see the excitement within you when I mention that. Because aren't you tired of all of this? We need to come out of mourning. Because if we are still in mourning, we'll be tired. And that's what I sense, especially when I was in New York. You know, I was saying to the pastors in New York, I said, what's happening? How come believers in New York, they seem so tired? How come they seem so tired? I said, I don't understand this. Look at the atmosphere. But each of the churches are open up for me to go in. I was strengthening them and energizing them. And a new spirit was coming upon them. You know what? Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Right? So let this morning, let it go off you. Receive the joy. Receive the mandate. Would you just rise up to your feet? I just want us just to tap into that. And then begin to pray in the Holy Spirit. If you want to pray in tongues, and then begin to speak over the nations of the United States. Begin to repair the ancient ruins. And now I understand within your heart, it's time for you to come out of mourning and to know that God is still in control. Yeah? God is still in control, even though Trump did not win and we wanted him to. But he's still in control. We can't lose focus of that. We cannot afford to believe that everything is lost. That's not the right way to think. Because the more we think that way, it makes the devil so happy. So let us pray right now. Will you just stretch forth your hands? Begin to pray and stretch forth your hands as you pray. Stretch your hands to the four corners of the United States. And then pray right now. Begin to decree that the ancient ruins will begin to be rebuilt. Things that are being ruined, begin to pray right now in the name of Jesus. Speak to the family institution. Speak to the education. Speak to the government. Speak into the vaccine policies. Whatever it is the Lord lays on your heart, release the rivers of living waters within you and begin to decree and begin to pray. Because guess what? The anointing is multiplying in this room. I hear the word multiply. You know, the anointing, as you release the anointing, is causing a multiplication to take place, a multiplication of authority. Things are changing. Things are changing right now because you are the Isaiah 61 generation that has the power to repair the ancient ruins. We decree and we declare in the name of Jesus that the ancient ruins will be repaired. everything that seems to be ruined in this nation. Lord, we decree and declare that we have not given up. We decree right now that they will be rebuilt. They will be rebuilt. A new day. We decree a new day has come. A new day has come into the United States. We release the anointing right now. And we say, lift up your head, O ye gates, be ye lifted up, you everlasting doors, that the King of glory may come in. So we pray in the name of Jesus that the ruins will be rebuilt. We pray in the name of Jesus. King of glory, come. Let your will be done on earth as it is done in heaven. Repair, Lord God, the ruined cities. Everything that is. Lord, I don't know if you've given up praying about the gang violence, but that's one of the areas that we can also pray into, right? That peace and safety, that the spirit of violence will be overturned in our land. But we also repent on the behalf of this nation. We repent because your word says, oh Lord, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, then you will hear from heaven. Right. We turn from our wicked ways. You will hear. So Lord, we repent even in our heart. And we repent on behalf of our nation. Turn, oh Lord, and heal this land. Turn, oh Lord, and heal the United States. Turn, oh Lord, and heal North Carolina. Turn, oh Lord, and heal the United States. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 And then there's a personal blessing for you. There's a personal blessing for you. As you stand as the Isaiah 61 generation, there's a reward, because the Lord rewards those who diligently seek him. Right? He says that you shall eat the riches of the Gentiles. Wow. Isn't that wonderful? That blessings is going to come to you. Prosperity is going to come to you. Yeah, you will eat the riches of the Gentiles in your glory that you will, sorry, in their glory you will boast. Instead of your shame, you will have double honor. Can you see that God is going to release honor? Right. And then he is going to release joy. Okay. You see, joy, double honor, no more confusion within your life. He's going to cause you to prosper, because the anointing causes you to prosper in the name of Jesus. So just receive this, even right now, you know, the double honor, the prosperity, because this is of God, you know. This is of God. It says that even as our soul prospers, right, he wants us to be in good health, he wants us to prosper as well. So let this be, Father, in the name of Jesus. And you will be named the priest of the Lord. And they will call you the servants of your God. You will eat the riches of the Gentiles. And in verse 10, it's so beautiful. There's a new garment is being put upon you as the Isaiah 61 generation. It's called the garments of salvation. It's called the robes of righteousness. Okay. It's beautiful. So there's a new robe that is coming upon you. There's a new mantle. When I was doing my interview with the Elijah stream yesterday, I kept talking about mantle, you know. So there is a new mantle. There's a new robe that the Lord is putting upon you in the name of Jesus. Okay. So I want to... We want to have time to pray for everyone. Is that okay if I stop there? Okay. So can you sit for a moment, please? So if all of you could. Thank you. I receive my healing too in the name of Jesus. Because my eyes has been hurting. My eyes, my eyeballs. I receive healing in the name of Jesus for my eyes. The Lord actually healed me in my eye several years ago. I had a condition in my eye that the doctor felt it could make me go blind. And I was supernaturally healed. Jesus walked into my room and he said, I have healed you. So I know I'm completely healed and it's not coming back. My eyes are healed. My eyes are, because I've been feeling pain in my eye for the last couple of days, but in Jesus' name, I receive my healing. Amen. 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 So I want to pray. If everybody, if you could just have your eyes closed. And I believe there are people watching online. Is that right? Okay. So I want to make a call for those who are watching online and for those of you who are here. I want to make a call that if you are here and you have not yet. Yeah, I know all of you look so holy. But I love, me personally, I love to make altar call wherever I go. Because even if it's just one person, yeah, the one sheep, just one person. So I want to make a call. If you're here this afternoon or this morning, and you don't yet know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and maybe you've been coming to church even, but you didn't understand that believing in Jesus is about relationship. It's about having him within your heart, letting him come into your heart and to be your Lord and your Savior. If that is you, and you know that there's never been a time that you have really, genuinely from your heart, invited Jesus to come into your heart and to be your Savior and your Lord. And today you want to do that. Because Jesus came down from heaven to die for us so that we can live with him in heaven for all of eternity. So if you're here today and you don't yet know Jesus as your Lord and your Savior, and you would like to, I told you my experience when I was 15 years old. I prayed and I asked Jesus to come into my heart and to be my Savior. Before then, I was just a religious person, a religious child who went to church because my mother went to church. But when I was 15, well, throughout the time I was in school, though, I was severely bullied at school. I was beaten mentally, emotionally, bullied when I was 15 years old. In fact, before then, I was self-harming my body. I was planning to kill myself. But when I was 15 years old, I prayed in my heart. And I asked Jesus to come into my heart and to be my Lord and my Savior. And my life has never been the same. So I want to ask you, are you here? And you want to say this for the first time. You've never said it before. For the very first time, you want to receive Jesus as your Lord and your personal Savior. Can I see your hands up if that is you? Can I see your hands up? Can I see your hands up? Are you putting your hands up? Oh, ha, 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 ha. Okay. So everyone's already knows Jesus. Okay, then. Yeah. Huh? Pardon? Okay. All right, so what I want to do now, I love to see people get healed. So I want to pray for you if you have any sickness within your body. Actually, in the dream that I had, one thing about me though is that I don't really use anointing oil. But I think that the dream I had, it was symbolic. Because I remember within that dream, there was a little jar of oil. And I had anointed them to be the Isaiah 61 generation. But it was a dream, so I think it was symbolic of the anointing. So it doesn't necessarily mean I will use the oil. I just remember that. Okay, so I want to pray for you right now if you're sick within your body. Can you rise up to your feet if you have any pain? Can I see your hand if you have any pain? I will still pray for you even if you don't have pain. That's fine. Can I see your hand if you have any pain? Okay. Can you pull your hand where the pain is?